Hello, James.
Hello, Jack.
James, how's the heat?
Oh, it's well, it's a. I kept saying it was a world record, but it was a world record for the city of Eugene, Oregon. So, like across the world in cities named Eugene, Oregon, there was record-breaking heat. But I managed to escape it, drove out to the coast, and yeah, it was all right. But seems like the climate might be changing. And yeah, who knows what's responsible for that?
Let's not touch that one. Yeah, it was hot here today in New York, although not quite that hot. Although I enjoy the heat as long as it's dry. If it's dry, sunny, and hot, I'm happy.
Sounds like you should move to the West Coast.
Yeah, I've definitely thought about it. There's a lot of things I love about the city of Las Vegas. There's enough that I don't love that I don't think I would move there, but hey, it's great. Great town. I've always enjoyed not just the action during the World Series, but the weather as well. I know I'm not, it's not such a common take, but I personally just enjoy it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, for me, I think it's nice not living there. I can appreciate it.
Speaking of hot weather and hot action, we've got we're going to return to a game that I played in Austin, Texas a couple of months ago, or almost 3 months ago at this point. Kind of crazy. And it was the Poker Unicorns game that Zach, former co-host, put on. And mostly tech folks, and I'm a tech folk myself, but I also have a little bit of experience at the card table. And it was a fun game. It was interesting playing against some people who were very new to poker, playing for more money than usual. Or not more money than usual, but normally when you get to play against people who've never played before, it's a smaller game. So it was interesting playing against some of the player pool in this lineup. And we're going to talk about a hand against one of those players because I think it's an opportunity to think through how to play spots against very volatile from a what possible strategies are is this person playing perspective.
Yeah, looking forward to this one. Let's dive in.
Right. So this one folds to me in the cutoff. And the button is the player scrub I'm referencing. So this guy's a friend, but he's pretty new to poker. And he's been playing very loose, somewhat just loose mostly, some aggression, not like super aggressive or super not aggressive. Very, I would say, unfamiliar about like hand rankings. I mean, obviously he knows what hands are better than other hands, but he's I don't think that clued I don't think he's that clued into like what is a good hand given the context. And I also he clearly doesn't know very much about bet sizing. So he's on the button. And then I think Zach is in the big blind. I can't quite remember. So I'm gonna cut off with King Nine offsuit, which I think is it's a bit of a decision. I like to open to $25. We're playing 5-5, and we're around 2K effective with most of the players. I think Button has a little bit less than that.
Yeah, it looks like Button has about 1.7K according to their graphic.
Pretty though.
Yeah.
So what do you think? You saw the session. You got to see more details about what this player was doing than I did.
Yeah.
But I was onto the fact that this player was playing very loose and not afraid to put money in the pot. What would you want to do?
I'd want to open here. I think we're going to be making like a bit better decisions than this player. Maybe like, you know, king eight might be the bottom. Something to be said is though, like king nine off is kind of a hand where with this level of stack depth, you might prefer to have like a, you know, a suited hand over like the high card hands. They're going up a little bit in value, but
yeah, it's a trash hand.
Yeah, but we're in the
cutoff. It's not that precise, but you know, I think it's enough hand to play in this context. I think that if Zach were playing a little bit more aggressively against me, then I might actually opt to not open. But he had been fairly, I don't want to say he was like clearly avoiding me, but I think that he just was more interested in playing hands against the other players at the table. Sometimes Zach and I get into big pots with each other, but it just didn't seem like it was one of those days where he was more so looking to reduce variance against me. So I do get a call from Button, and we're heads up to the flop. So $60 to the flop.
Something, I'm going to go back a second. I don't want to deprive everyone of the lengthy pre-flop discussion. I remember you saying this in an earlier podcast, maybe before I was even co-host of the show, but it kind of stuck with me that in some ways we can get like the cutoff can be like an underratedly profitable position because everyone's aware that you should be a bit wider on the button, but they don't take it far enough when in the cutoff as well. And so that can be like a place where maybe we're playing differently than our opponents and just squeaking out a little bit more value. Can you stand by that?
Somewhat. I think I would say that in a full ring game, people probably play against the button a little bit better than they play against the cutoff from the blinds. But I think it's minor. It's like a minor effect. And I don't think that it's that relevant here because I think only one person is going to be thinking about my range and then making mistakes by thinking about it incorrectly.
Yeah.
So onto the flop. We flop well. King, queen, nine, king of clubs, queen of hearts, nine of spades. And I have king nine, king of diamonds, nine of hearts. So we flop top and bottom, fairly connected board, so it's not the greatest two pair in the world, which is part of the reason this hand is a trash hand. But hey, I'll take it. So against a profile like Button, I think this is a tricky spot. Or in terms of do we check raise or bet? I would say that against stronger players, I would either bet or check call. I really don't love the check raise in this situation with this hand. I just don't think it serves us very well. I think we're slightly sort of overrepresenting our hand in a way. And this board runs out in ways that are fairly unfavorable for us a good deal of the time. Anytime a 10, jack, queen, or mostly those cards. An ace is not as bad as those, but not awesome. Then it's difficult to, I think, continue value betting against stronger players after we check raise the flop. But against this player, maybe that is a line I should have considered more strongly. I just went ahead and bet $35 and $60. And I don't know. I don't know if that was the right play. What do you think, James?
How are you ranging this opponent? Do you remember, I mean, it's probably too long ago now, but do you remember about how many hands this player is playing? If you saw any like rather loose showdowns or anything?
Yeah, I think this player is not so far away from probably being VPipping 50% of hands. And I think in this situation, I would definitely be surprised if much in the way of suited or connected hands folded. He's definitely not literally playing every hand, but I might not have been quite as focused on how wide he was at the time relative to how much I should have been. But it was definitely evident based on the play that had occurred to that point that this player, you would not be surprised to see. There's no hand he could have that would be so surprising that he had it.
Yeah.
He obviously was folding, but I couldn't really rule out any particular hand with 100% frequency.
Okay, so quite wide. Maybe even has some sets here very occasionally or something. I guess we block kings and nines.
I think he's aggressive enough that he would 3-bet.
Okay.
Instead of kings or queens.
Yeah.
I don't know that he would necessarily 3-bet ace, king. I'm really not sure.
Yeah. I think against someone who is a little bit newer to poker, I don't really expect them to be running a lot of like triple barrel bluffs. And if they are, like, you can kind of start to notice as well. I generally think they're just a bit more passive and just kind of sizing their bets, like, not really relative to the size of the pot, but to the strength of their hand and more like how they're feeling in the moment. So you can get like quite small bets relative to the pot on like later streets once the pot's inflated. I think I prefer bet. I think I like it. I think, you know, I could see some gut shots calling. There's like a lot of, you know, queen X, nine X that'll probably call that probably won't bet. I mean, I could see this opponent like betting like a hand like, you know, queen eight suited occasionally too here if we check, but I think it'll also call. So I don't think there's too much of a difference. Or I think we'll actually get calls every time and bets sometimes. So I prefer betting against those types of hands. Yeah. So I think basically against this player, like, you know, we have a quite strong hand relative to the entire amount of hands that can be had here. And so I like bet.
What size do you like? I agree that I think bet is best, but I think I maybe should have just been more optimistic.
Yeah, I think, yeah, maybe it's like 50 or something here. I don't think 9-7 is folding if he has a nine, you know. And Yeah, I think you can get more value, be a little more greedy here.
Yeah, I agree. I think based on how he had been playing that with pairs and draws, he was going to be somewhat insensitive to bet sizing at this stage in the hand, and that making it larger now would have been advantageous.
What would you do against, like, let's say like Zach called you on the button or someone who is just a bit stronger of a player? What would you do with this hand in that scenario?
I think I would probably check to check call. I don't think I'm going to be able to play this hand that profitably against a player like Zach. I mean, I probably don't open this from the cutoff if Zach's on the button, to be honest.
Yeah.
But assuming I did. Suited, yeah, let's say I have King 9 suited, which I obviously would open. What I like about check call is that I think it's a hard play to beat is Zach. What I don't love about check call is that I think he would think I would play like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, he also has like a lot of, you know, pair plus gut shot type hands that, like, you know, second pair, third pair gut shot hands that we'll probably just check back and we're maybe missing out on some value by not betting. You know, if he's queen 10, queen jack, 9-10, 9-jack, you know, king jack, king 10.
I think against Zach, I would be better off betting here. Because even though this is a board that gets kind of ugly, I do think it gets ugly in a way where a lot of players struggle to find the right bluffs once I bet. So let's say I bet 40. What hands does Zach decide to raise? Does he raise 10-9? And I block that.
Ace-jack.
9, I don't think he has 10s or 9s.
Ace-jack probably 3 bets mostly. Ace-10 maybe.
Maybe Ace-10. Maybe, I don't know, 7-8 of spades, which is 3 to straight through a flush. The point is there's not a lot of obvious bluffs, and I think when the bad cards are going to come, which are namely a 10 or a jack, it's another spot where it's not obvious what the bluff should be. And so I think that I can take advantage of that by betting instead of playing a defensive strategy with a hand as strong as King 9.
Yeah. There are some players that just are, it's common for people to bet very frequently when checked to in this scenario, but I don't know if it holds true on this particular board just because there's a lot of medium strength hands with equity. Yeah, so yeah, I like bet.
King Queen 9 is a tough board for both players. King Queen 9 rainbow. This would be, if I were still doing this type of thing actively, I would have my solver out after we record this podcast and be studying this board. Because I'm interested by it. So I bet 35. I wish I bet a little bit larger, 50 or 60. And I face a pretty quick call. And the turn is an ace of diamonds. So rainbow board. One other thing I should mention about this player before we go forth from the hand is that I had become friendly with this player. So he and I had hung out the night before and had some good conversations. And also he knew, I don't know that he, you know, I don't want to put it quite like this, but I don't know that he fully appreciates how much I know about poker, but he knew definitely that I was a knowledgeable poker player and much more experienced than him. I was also helping him out a little bit.
You didn't want to be too mean?
Say it again?
You didn't want to be too mean?
Me be mean to him, like in this hand, like with the way I'm playing?
Yeah.
No. No, it's not that. I'm just saying it's so that you factor that in when considering how he would, play against me.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think he will play differently against me than against the other players, but I'm not sure exactly how. I could see him being more motivated to bluff me, for example. I could also see him being less or more worried about bluffing me. I just don't know how it will go. I don't get the sense that he particularly cares about the money. I'm aware that he's a very successful guy for his age, and also just lives life with a certain recklessness, let's call it. I don't think he'll hear this, but hey, man, I don't think he'd mind me saying it. So,
yeah, I think that's a compliment.
Yeah, I think. I mean, it is a compliment.
Like a fearlessness, maybe.
Yeah, he's fearless. But I've learned a little bit more about him since. So I wouldn't say I was aware that he was somewhat fearless.
So the board is king, queen, nine, turn, ace, completing the rainbow. And we've got king, nine. And there's 380 in the pot. We got 1.6K effective behind.
Not 380 in the pot yet.
Sorry.
So yeah, we've got 130 in the pot. So I sort of snapped into it a little bit more here and decided to do, I think, probably what I should have done on the street prior and just make a big value bet. I bet just under pot, $125. Any reason to deviate from that plan?
I don't know. Could we overbet? We've got like 200 here.
I think part of the problem is that the ace, while occasionally, gives him like a second best hand, I think it also is maybe a bit scary. So I think if I was going to do something different here, it would be to probably bet a little smaller. I do think maybe I was a little bit, my thinking was just like a little bit behind where it should have been in this hand.
Yeah, I guess it's like we bet pot, and he calls whatever 80% of the time with the worst hand versus like what if we bet 2x pot, we folding it like
we have to,
I would
have
more to... than more than twice as many of those same hands kind of.
I would have to think his most common hand types are going to be gut shots and queens. Some of those gut shots might have an ace.
Mm-hmm.
He also, I could see him calling with ace high with not really much else happening. It was a smallish bet, I think, from his perspective on the flop. Yeah, I think we want gut shots to call. So do you think Gutshots will call for $125 from this player?
I mean, definitely, there's also like a lot of pair plus gutshots, right? Like queen, jack.
Yeah, those, I mean, those
jack,
are never
nine, 10, nine, king, ten, sorry, they're all playing this way. Yeah, you mean like more bear gutshots or whatever?
Yeah, like
10-7 or something.
Yeah, 10-7. 10-7, jack-7.
I mean, I think those would mostly fold for the pot sizing. You know, this player is a bit of a wild card, so it's a little harder to say. Probably get some calls.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, not impossible for him to call those hands. And there's, you know, we have a lot of hands that are certainly calling here that are worse.
I'm starting to lean more towards actually your suggestion to overbet. Because I think that a mistake in my thinking here is that my best information about this player is that, like, he's not very aware of, like, what a good hand is here. And he's also not that aware of, like, he's probably not going to be that sensitive to sizing. I think
yeah,
he might be sensitive to, like, dollar amounts overall. So that would be a
reason. Yeah, but he's not aware of, like, what the pots, or he's not as focused on what the pot size is, maybe.
Most likely not.
Yeah.
I like my line here. I don't think I would change it. I think, you know, going a little bit larger would be reasonable as well. 150, 175. I'm not seeing a reason to make it like 400 because I think that will just look very strong to him and he'll just fold a lot of hands. That's my guess. We do get a call, and the river's a bit disappointing. We get a jack. Final board, king, queen, nine, ace, jack. So four to a straight, tens are straights. We have two pair, king, nine. I think I slipped into a bit of an auto check here, which I think could use more thought. I think it would be hard to justify like a very large bet here, but I can think of reasons to bet like a blocking size and also to bet a like even a half pot size. The reason to bet something like half pot is because there are worse two pairs, but I also think that just worse one pairs might just call. And I feel like if I make a big enough bet, then I have a really easy bet fold. Whereas if I bet something that looks officially small, I could see myself inducing a raise. And obviously what I don't want to see here, in my opinion, although I just think it's hard for me to feel comfortable trying to induce like a large bet or raise. I feel as though that's mostly bad news for me to see that. I mean, do you agree with that assumption that we shouldn't be like fist pump calling a large bet?
The thing about my roommate's dog is, I don't know if you can hear it. My roommate has an Aussie like mutt and he's a very sweet dog, but he's very attached to my roommate. And so he gets very lonely sometimes. Sorry about that. I think what were you asking about? You were asking about the, like, if we would feel good about calling a big bet here.
Yeah, let's say we check. Or, I mean, let's not jump into that quite yet.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about small, somewhere between like a blocking size and half pot? Or let's just say those two options, like 45% pot,
yeah,
blocking bet.
I think, I mean, I'm trying to think like theoretically, I'm thinking about like who has more tens, and it's probably in position here. So, like, for that reason, like, they should be finding some bluffs, and so
I mean, it's
maybe looking to check here.
I think the block bet here is, like,
it's to be more confident, like, we can fold when we get raised, kind of.
A little bit of that, which I think is useful. And a little bit of just getting value from worse.
Like sometimes some one pair will still call, maybe. And there's plenty, I mean, there's plenty of worse two pair that can call.
Yeah, there's a good amount of two pair. There's a good amount of one pair. I think all those are still possible to call, like an ace or a worse king.
Yeah. I mean, Ed, I'm struggling not to be results oriented by this hand, I think is part of the issue, but half pot makes sense to me here. Based on this player profile, I just think, we also might, just occasionally get called by, some kind of queen eight or something, you know, any suited queen that ends up getting here.
Yeah, I think that would have been better. Half pot bet is a really strange bet in this spot, which I think is why I just didn't, it didn't jump out to me. I think blocking bets can be a reasonable part of strategy in a spot like this. Large bets, very small bets, checks, I think is going to be more typical than something like half pot. I think half pot would have accomplished my goals pretty well here, something like 160 into 380. I regret not doing it. What happened is I checked, which I think, again, was too autopiloty, because I think even thinking in the more default strategy kind of mindset, I should have been more strongly considering like a block. Yeah, I mean, king, like, I'm sort of out of bounds already thinking about blocking king nine here.
Yeah.
But whatever. I checked. And button sort of cuts out a bet and puts in $400 in the 380, which was a pretty big bet for him. I had seen him do a lot of like sort of smaller betting on earlier streets before, so I hadn't seen something like this that I could recall. And he did also kind of like lean back in his chair and put his hands behind his head. Not like, not necessarily like I'm like lying back, I'm relaxed. A little bit more like put your hands behind your head, like I might be like a little stressed out. I think there's obviously plenty of tens in the range. And I even think that there could be just naked 10x, although I don't think I would have, I think I would have probably in the moment guessed that 10x would fold the turn, but I wouldn't have ruled it out. But there's obviously plenty of tens. King 10, queen 10, 9 10,
ace 10,
ace 10.
Jack 10. Well, maybe Jack 10 is probably raising.
And so if he's going to bluff here, it's basically a certainty that he turns a pair into a bluff.
Yeah.
I just didn't get the sense he would turn like a pair of aces or kings into a bluff. So I think the question is more like, how often do I think Button will turn a queen, jack, or nine into a big bluff here?
Probably not that often, you know. I mean, he's a young guy, so I think that makes bluffing a little more likely, just in general, you know.
Yeah.
But
what do you think about the body language? Because I think that was my biggest
Yeah.
One of my most important data points.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of someone else who was like, you know, learning about poker kind of at the Solve for Why Academy. I'm not going to mention a name, but it was someone who I think you had a leak finder with, who was at the same Solve for Why Academy as me, and who did something like this. Where he kind of like, I think he started like going on his phone and trying to look relaxed when he was running a really big bluff. And, you know, it was the Solve for Why game, so it's not for real money, but there are some prizes at stake. So, you know, and people are competitive. They want to win. Anyway, that's kind of what it reminded me of. Do you remember this player?
Unfortunately, I don't.
Okay. I'll say it and then edit it out. Now that Jack knows who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think it's a reasonable comparison.
Yeah. So like maybe players who are quite new might just be more in the try to actually look relaxed when they're bluffing, and then, like, you know, as people get more experience, they try and reverse it more often.
Yeah, I think people do get, like, there is a bit of a, I don't know, I wish I understood this tell better, because mm-hmm. it's so, just to spoil the hand, not to spoil it, but like, let's cut to the chase.
Yeah,
I got my ass bluffed here. I folded, and button had jack three of spades, so called a gut shot across two streets and then turned a jack into a bluff on the river. Even thinking about calling now, that even though I know that he had jack three, still yeah. feels kind of bad. So I do feel as though I just don't trust people to bluff
with pairs.
I think it's an unlikely string of events that I was bluffed in this spot, but I do think that my big opportunity was the physical tell. And I didn't know what to make of it.
Yeah.
I thought it was a little ostentatious, mm-hmm. which is kind of value-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And I also thought that...
I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just sort of making yourself big versus making yourself small. But I don't know. Obviously, it was a bluff, and I think it was a genuine, like, stress-induced response. I definitely also, I think, felt as though it was a little bit less likely that he would want to bluff me in this spot. Because
you think he might sometimes, like, go all in with a 10 or something?
No, I don't think he was. I think he leaned small in sizing versus big.
Okay.
So I felt like this was like a notably big bet.
Yeah, I, you know, like when we first decided to do this hand, I thought the fold was maybe a little bit more debatable, but I still think it's good. Yeah, I think the only opportunity is if you have some kind of, you know, you're able to suss out this, like, his behavior, which is a little bit unusual after he bets and while betting. But like you said, he has to be turning like a queen, a jack, a nine into a bluff at a decent frequency. You know, he'll have plenty of tens here, you know, and we block some of the nines that he can have. So,
yeah. The other problem, I mean, another risk is that he's just betting two worse two pair, which I think is a reason to maybe call.
Mm-hmm. But then he could be betting a better two pair too, right?
For sure. I'm getting about 2 to 1. Yeah. So Yeah, part of the problem with the more jack x that he has, the more 10x that he has. Yeah, it's hard for me to come around to like I made a mistake here. I think I made some. I think I did make a mistake by checking. I'm not sure that I can. I would go as far as considering the full mistake, but hey, it was a gutsy play by Quinn, and it worked out. Oh, it was a gutsy play by Button, and it worked out. I mean, I can say his name. I mean, so I can play it on public.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I've been like shielding his identity from everybody. Yeah. Well played, Quinn. You own me.
Keep calling gut shots on turn. It always works out.
Unfortunately, well, never mind. What I will say is that I think had I played this hand against Quinn today, not as a having already played the session, but just from getting known better, I would much more strongly consider call.
Interesting.
But I didn't know him quite as well at that point. So
yeah.
I'm comfortable with my submission here. All right, James, you got a bit of a net in front of you. Appreciate you taking the wheel on this one. And to the listeners, we love you. Stick around.
Yeah. Write in some more hands. We're running a little low.
Yeah, well, send us some hands. Come on, guys. Delta variant, Schmelta variant. Go play some poker.